Morning. Welcome to the Josephine County Board of Commissioners weekly business session. Today's June 29th, 2016. It's 9 a.m. If you'll stand, we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance before we begin. Okay, the first item on the agenda this morning is the matter proclaiming the week of June 29th to the July 5th, 2016 as Fireworks Safety Education Week. And Commissioner Heck is going to read a proclamation for us.
And it is one of the privileges we have as people who live in Josephine County to realize how many people there are who volunteer time, money, all kinds of things to make a whole host of events and programs possible. And we have this proclamation that is focusing on the Redwood Lions. And but it's just a privilege to be able to read this proclamation. So in the matter of proclaiming the week of June 29th through July 5th, 2016, as Fireworks Safety Education Week, the following proclamation is given. Whereas Redwood Lions support and applaud the celebration of our National Independence Day, and whereas we roar about promoting the safe use of fireworks for said celebration, and whereas Redwood Lions approve and applaud city ordinances setting forth regulations pertaining to fireworks safety in Grants Pass, Oregon, and whereas Redwood Lions support ORS 48.110 through ORS 48.165 regarding the safe use of fireworks within the state of Oregon, now therefore be it resolved that the Josephine County Board of Commissioners does hereby proclaim the week of June 29th through July 5th, 2016 as Fireworks Safety Education Week in Josephine County and calls upon citizens to observe this week with appropriate use of fireworks. Done and dated this 29th day of June 2016. Signed by the two county commissioners, Board Chair Cheryl Walker, myself, with Commissioner Hare not able to sign as absent at the signing. So we have Mr. Lotterette.
And, please come forward.
Please come forward, and I'll be happy to.
Jen Slusser? Okay. Thank you for all the work you do in the community, too. Yeah. That's great. Would you mind stepping up the microphone and tell us a little bit about what you're doing?
What's going on. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Wow, this is nice. This is the, fourth year, the county commissioners have done this. And one of the things that the Redwood Lions is, we have members in our club that they don't believe in fireworks at all, but they do believe in being safe in our community. And so we put this together, and one of our members kind of did the roar and all of that good stuff. We promote it, fireworks safety. We provide a banner at the north end of town that's up right now that is reminding everyone that drives over under it, be safe with fireworks. And that's something we plan on doing on a regular basis, and we congratulate the county of Josephine for being there to do this. Thank you again very much.
Thank you. And thank you for all the work the Lions Club does in the community.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Okay. Item number, pardon?
She waved it and I said thank you.
Oh. Item number two, approval of order number 2016-026 in the matter of confirming the sheriff's property sale of June 16th, 2016, accepting the sheriff's return on sale, accepting the sheriff's certificates of sale, authorizing distribution of proceeds of the sale and execution of quit claim deeds. And there are three quit claim deeds. We have Mike Watson, our real property specialist, who is the one who handles these sales. So, Mr. Watson.
Good morning, commissioners. Mike Watson, property manager for Josephine County. This has been a very long process. We began ferreting through a number of various properties many months ago, and a lot of individuals have put in quite a bit of time going through the process of getting these properties ready to be sold. On June 16th, we had the sheriff's auction in this room. Three of the 14 properties were sold. It would have been nice if there had been more, but this was a learning process, and we developed the procedures necessary for future sales. And at this point in time, I should mention I'm also currently working on another list of properties for a potential September sale. As I mentioned, a number of people put in a lot of time in order to get to this point. And I want to give a special shout out to Pat Ellison, who really worked very tirelessly to get us to this point. She did an exemplary job. What we have here is the return of sale from the sheriff's. Sheriff's deputy conducted the sale 2 weeks ago in this room, and the three individuals who purchased property have paid in full. That money is deposited currently with Josephine County, as well as the recording fees. Of the proceeds, 10% goes to administrative fees in order to take care of all that had to be taken care of in order to get these properties up and running or ready to sell. The additional proceeds go to the Parks Department for various programs for which they're working on and needing funds for those programs. The additional properties that did not sell as of this afternoon, they will go up on the website, and by Oregon revised statutes, we have the opportunity to enter into private sales with the public on those particular properties. And there are directions on the website and an offer of sale form in that website for which individuals from the public can present an offer. That offer is made with a 20% down payment, and they fill out this form identifying the property and themselves and how they would like a deed written. And that is then presented to the board for approval or non-approval, depending on the board's wishes. So it's been a long road. We have been successful, and I'm very pleased and proud of everyone who participated in getting this auction up and running.
Thank you. The on the form here, I see that revenue to county is $68,853. Is that the gross amount, or is that the amount after the 10%?
That is the gross amount, and that includes the recording fees for each of the three.
So the recording fees will be deducted, and the 10%. Okay, good. And just as a little explanation in regards to it going to the parks, that is a statutory requirement. That's not an option to us. We have one option of either taking it and distributing it among all the districts in the county, which would be a few dollars to each one, mm-hmm. Or under statute, state law, we can designate it to the parks. Currently, our parks are used tremendously in the summer, and we need to upgrade things like restrooms and electricity, you know, for RVs and that kind of thing. So this is going to be a big help to the park system. So thank you for all your hard work, and we look forward to the September sale.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. One of the things, too, that I think everybody needs to understand is these properties are not new to the county. Some of these properties have been on the rolls, well, not on the rolls, but under the auspices of the county for up to 10 years?
That's correct.
And so for whatever the reason, it just never matured. They never got off of that. And this board made the decision that we need to get these things off our hands and into the hands of the citizens, so that it becomes a tax-generating benefit as well as people having the opportunity to purchase these properties. And the moving driving force behind all that is you, and I truly do appreciate it, because some of these things, it take place that they're so low on the radar screen that people tend to ignore it. But this is one of those things that just, if you don't keep after it, it just really gets to be quite a large mess, and that's sort of what we got right now, trying to sort through. That's what has taken some of the time, because there's a whole host of things you have to clear up and assure that this is not caught in some other web of some other whatever it might be. But to see it actually take place is a delight. Though I'm sure probably you were the largest cheerleader on the delight side on that.
I was indeed. Yes, selling these properties is critical to the county because, first and foremost, these properties are a tremendous liability and a tremendous risk to the county. So we have a number of properties that have squatters, mm-hmm. as an example. Individuals, sadly, from the community often will use these properties as dumping sites. We've got old automobiles and different issues that we've had to mitigate ourselves, and that needs to come to an end as quickly as possible, and that's why we need to push forward with yet another sale for September.
Right. When you say we have to mitigate, you mean all the taxpayers of the county have to mitigate it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, item 2B, approval of resolution 2016-050 in the matter of making an appropriation transfer for fiscal year 2015-16. And we have Mr. O'Hare from our finance office, the director.
Good morning, Arthur O'Hare, finance director. And I have one final budget adjustment for the current fiscal year 15-16. This appropriation transfer, as you might be familiar, it is not a supplemental budget in the definition of Oregon budget law, in that we're not increasing or decreasing the total appropriation to this fund. We're simply moving the funds from one category to another within the North Valley Industrial Park. So that can be done by resolution, does not require a publication in the paper or advertisement or public hearing, because, as I said, it's not actually changing the total appropriation to the fund. It's the same as it has been for the entire year. We're just moving $50,000 to the materials and services category, taking that and decreasing corresponding decrease in the transfer category and in the contingency category, and moving that up to materials and services to pay for a higher than expected cost that the for the water and maintenance, water usage and maintenance at the North Valley Industrial Park, based on Three Rivers School District that has began this year several deferred maintenance, major repairs and improvements in their sewer system. So those costs were passed along to the users of the system, of which North Valley Industrial Park is one, and so the cost was higher than expected. So this takes care of that, and I would hope you could approve that. Any questions?
No. Thank
yes.
you.
Just one. So everybody understands. Sure. The water that is used up there in the industrial park,
yes.
The North Valley Industrial Park, properties are there. Who is the owner or the manager of that water system?
Owner-manager is the Three Rivers School District,
okay.
I believe.
Just so everybody, this is not a county
no.
effort to gin more money out of somebody's. This is a reflection of the necessity to adjust because of the increased cost of repairs and those kinds of things
and needed repairs. It's not just, but that system has been operating at capacity for a number of years, and they've been doing patchwork to try to increase. And even the North Valley Industrial Park, you know, as a user, we would love to see increased capacity within that system, but there's just some physical limitations mm-hmm. that are not allowing that to occur. But this maintenance and improvements helps along those lines.
I'd just like to add here that the North Valley Industrial Park, that's where we're trying to get our own sewer system, our own sewer facility to put in, and we're about halfway through that process of evaluation and engineering and getting all the information necessary. It's not an easy process, and our next step will actually be putting together the construction engineering and getting a project manager and getting our financing in place. And even though we've been given some verbal assurances in regard to the financing, we still have to go through the actual application process and approval process with the infrastructure authorities. So we are working on that, have been working on it for 3 years, and hopefully we should be able to get it finished within the next couple of years. So, and then we won't have the reliance upon another system. We'll have our own.
And I think they'll appreciate it. Three Rivers will appreciate
that. Yes, they
will. North Valley High School will appreciate that.
Yeah,
also,
because it creates an issue for them as well.
Absolutely.
Us being the biggest user of that sewer facility. So it will relieve a burden for them as well. So thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to item 3, which is requests and comments from citizens. Everyone will be given 3 minutes. Please state your name and your address. And we will proceed. And anyone on this side want to speak over here? I'll take the gentleman in the back. Your hand up first. And then I'll take you next. Please state your name.
My name is George, and I hope I'm addressing the proper people in the situation. This last year I've had the opportunity, well, I had the bad luck of running into some transportation problems and found myself using the Josephine County Transit System.
Excuse me, I did not get your last name.
Harvey. George Harvey.
Thank you.
And I have had the opportunity of riding the bus system, and which I found to be quite nice. Actually, I couldn't ask for a better bunch of bus drivers. I said, I don't know if I'm addressing the right people. I know there's a man named Scott that runs the system. Maybe I should talk with him about this, but I've experienced some stuff within the system, namely outside here. And I was informed once by Simon Hare that there was an idea of replacing this location with another one for the hub of transfers of these buses. I am the first one to say everybody deserves the right to ride the bus without hassles, you know, although I've experienced some things out here that take place hidden in public, you know, namely smoking pot and one time man sitting there with an open bottle of vodka at the benches, some very rowdy situations with people. Now, I know a lot of them are down on their luck and, you know, find themselves, we know, the kind of pressures they're under. Also some, I don't know, flaunting of people's sexual identities. You know, it's perfectly fine, I guess. It's freedom of speech. But me as a taxpayer in the county and being a resident for 40 years here, as much as I know we need a bus system, and it's a great system, I would like to know what the status is on rearranging, on, you know, maybe changing the location of the hub. I know that people coming down the street, the traffic backs up at times and has a problem. I noticed one time I experienced the bus pulling in and clipping the side of a car that was parked out in front here. So I think that should be brought up, should be maybe up on the agenda of I think Simon said something about a piece of property that the county has over on 4th or 5th Street that they were thinking about using. And I think that ought to be put up on the agenda. You know, I think it's, you know, this place out here gets trashed. You sit around, people be 20 feet away from a trash can and won't use it. You know, I hear some things out there that I just say, you know, it's freedom of speech, but geez, you know. I don't like seeing it or hear it. And I notice people that walk by just utilizing the sidewalk don't even want to look in this direction because of the transient population and some of the other riffraff that hangs out here. And so I just want to bring this to the attention of the commissioners and, you know, further along if we can. And in the meantime, maybe I should talk with Scott. Would that be a direction maybe I should pursue?
We'll give you an answer in just a few minutes when we finish the public comment.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for bringing it to our attention. Yes, sir.
Tony Minton, Wolf Creek, Oregon. I come today to bring the commissioner some good news. Apparently, Dale Matthews is no longer here. If you'd watched his show Monday night, you would have found out the reasons why. And it wasn't because of the commissioners. They didn't defeat him. I just want to let you know that now you can go do your little backdoor deals without having Dale watching you. Thank you.
On this side, Mr. Ford.
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grants Pass. The accumulation of the, and the sales that have gone on is just another example of what you as Board of County Commissioners have done that, quite frankly, in the past has been ignored or just not done. The Demick Tower, getting that torn down, and you know, whatever happens in the future, that sale. The industrial park out in North Valley with the advances in the sewer system, and now getting these properties off of our tax rolls are things that you guys have done that other boards in the past have either, like I said, just refused to do or ignored. And I think that's a testament to what you guys have done in the last 3.5 years. The money that is going to go to the parks, and that's a very good idea. We don't need to share it with all the other entities. It'll be either to, in the future, to the park board or to the timber. The money that, and I happened to sit on the park board, we had a meeting yesterday, and that money will go into will be for future times when we need money for matching funds for grants. Our park systems, even though as nice as they are, have been ignored as far as maintenance on them for probably the last 30 years or so, and there are some things out there that are coming quickly that we're going to need to address in order to keep our parks as nice as they are and running. So this is just a chance to tell you guys as county commissioners, thank you for all the hard work you've done in the last 3.5 years.
Thank you. Anyone else over here? Yes.
Brad Converse, Grants Pass. I've just been hearing a little bit about a conflict of interest with the new cannabis rules, and I don't know a whole lot about it, but I'd really appreciate the board's insight on where they think people might think they have a conflict of interest, why they think they don't currently have a conflict of interest, just anything you might be able to just kind of assuage my concerns that maybe there's, I just want to make sure that everyone's being treated fairly and that anyone that should recuse himself does, and if they really don't need to, it'd be nice to just understand why. So thank you.
Thank you, Brad. Anyone else on this side? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Anything you wish to comment on, Commissioner?
Just with Mr. Harvey, the bus system is in long-term plans. I can't tell you exactly when, but soon and very soon. This hub here, because of the very thing that you are talking about, is to be moved down to the 5th Street on, what are those two?
I think it's between C and D.
C and D. And those two are blocked off already. And the grants have been part of the transportation grant money was received. You probably know more than that. It's in the works anyway to have the money come and to begin to do the necessary work to see that indeed become the main hub and get it off of 6th Street here, which for the very reasons you're talking about is such a problematic issue. But I don't have a date of completion, but it is in the works. The money is in the works, so it's very positive, but a shovel has not yet turned.
I said C and D. There's an alley there, and so it's on the other side of the alley between C and D. Goes more towards D. But there's two lots there the county has owned for a number of years, and initially in a long-term master plan somewhere there was supposed to have been a new courthouse built over there. That will probably never happen. But because they had acquired the other property across the street as part of that initial long-term plan, that is going to be, as Commissioner Heck said, is now proposed to be the terminal station for the buses. The traffic out here is an issue, as well as some of the others. We have applied for state funds, as I recall, and I think if you want to ask some more specific questions, the person to talk to would be Scott Chansey, because he's the one that applies for all of the grants. and he would be able to assist you in getting a little better idea on exactly how that's going to take place. And because he's very good. We have to take really good care of Scott Chansey, or Jackson County would take him away. So he's very good. So thank you for bringing that to our attention, and because it gives us the opportunity to talk about it, because I'm sure people are asking the same question you are. So thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, anything else from you?
Do you want to address that conflict of interest issue?
Yes. There are people out there who keep hitting on this conflict of interest simply because we've been holding information gathering town halls. And conflict of interest only has to be something that is declared if you're actually considering an issue for a vote or a decision. We're gathering information. There is no ordinance pending. There's nothing written. There's nothing to declare a conflict with. So some people's perception that just because I do have a farm and I do grow hemp on the farm, they are perceiving that that is a conflict of interest. But there is no legislation. We're not talking about a specific ordinance. We're not talking about a measure on the ballot, just gathering data. And the data is being presented, and this is the plan of the board. The data is being gathered, and we have charged our new community development and planning director to compile the information and put together a committee of citizens in the county to evaluate exactly what it is that we are proposing, so that it's not just a board decision. So that is where that, if anything, will come from. It will come from that process and not from us. So when it's information gathering, there's no conflict of interest. We're just going out and listening, asking questions. And by the way, anybody that has any suggestions or ideas, they're welcome at any time. I mean, just because the town hall, the last one was last night, just because we've had the last town hall, we certainly would like to have information. If anyone has an idea or an issue in regards to the whole cannabis industry as to how that can be facilitated in the county, or how we can mitigate some of the issues that we're experiencing in the county, we would certainly love to have that information. So hope that answers your question, Brad. Question, yes.
I've also heard that you don't make marijuana manufacturing.
Yes, that is true. Yes, they're about that big. Yes. So, yes. And the industry in Josephine County is in quite a state of flux. The people who have been here many, many years, that have been growing it, you know, since the 60s or whatever, they were usually very good neighbors. Now that just since the recreational marijuana was approved 2 years ago, it has become a very chaotic situation, and we have some people who are not being very nice neighbors that have come in kind of like, as I think Commissioner Peck said one day, kind of like a gold rush mentality. You know, they've come in and making it difficult for those people who are already established. Another issue that came forward last night that I hadn't heard before, but two or three people mentioned this to me last night, is that on the recreational sales, they're paying a tax to the state, which I believe is 25%, and the state is collecting millions and millions of dollars. The formula that they have, the county is only going to get about $82,000 for biennium. That's 2 years. They're very angry about that. They're saying, you know, here we have the largest producing county, and we're paying recreational taxes into the state, and we aren't even going to get a fraction back of what we're paying in, and yet we have a lot of issues that need to be addressed. So I met with Representative Wilson's legislative assistant this week, as has our planning director, and expressed those concerns about that formula and asked if they could see that that formula gets changed so that it's not paid out based on the physical locations of recreational marijuana retail outlets, but that there's a component to that formula that goes to pounds per capita grown in a specific locality, because our issues here are different than if you have a recreational store in the heart of Portland or Eugene. You know, they have law enforcement, they have strict rules and that kind of thing. And so we think the formula needs to be changed, and we're lobbying for that. very hard. And I think that will make it better for our people here who are legitimate growers who are trying to do the right thing. So, yeah, we're looking at that. So if anybody else has any other ideas. I'd like to say, too, while we're on this topic, is that one of the issues having to be fences, that's one of the ones we hear almost first and foremost, just a little bit ahead of water, the fence issue. We thought, and this is one thing that we had talked about at three of the four meetings, but last night, of course, because I'd learned this new information, is that there was the 8-foot requirement for a fence from OLCC. The county's fence requirement at 7 feet, it doesn't require a permit until it goes over that 7 feet, but the state requires the 8-foot fence, thus the small space above it, and that it had to be engineered once it hit that 8-foot level. We thought that that was an OLCC rule. It was incorporated in the OLCC rules as a result of having been a state building safety requirement. So changing the state building safety standards is just not an option. They are typically there for a reason, and why they say engineered is because lots of times when people put in 8-foot fences, they start getting heavy, and they need to have certain spans, they need to have certain foundations, and those kinds of things. So the other thing I talked about with Representative Wilson's representative was that perhaps the state OLCC could change that 8-foot requirement to 7. There's really not a whole lot more security with that additional foot to begin with, but that would eliminate the issue in regards to the building safety requirement of engineering fences at 8 feet. So we're trying to work on that one as well. So if you have any other ideas, we'd love to hear them. it's very complex. And the one thing I've tried to make clear to people at these meetings is that I know that the rules have been changing almost daily. I mean, I'm constantly getting emails from OLCC or Oregon Health Authority. And because the legislature did combine some of the issues in the legislative session, that made it even more difficult rather than keeping those two statutes separate. So it's a lot of confusion, and no one has all the answers. And the new rules just came out. I got a copy of them yesterday that are effective tomorrow, new rules from OLCC. So, you know, lots happening. Stay tuned, I guess, is what we need to say. So thank you. All right. I will take a motion for item one on the, item two, the administrative action, approval order 2016-026.
And Madam Chair, I will move for approval of order 2016-026 in the matter of confirming the sheriff's property sale of June 16th, 2016. Accepting the sheriff's return on sale, accepting the sheriff's certificates of sale, authorizing distribution of proceeds of sale, and execution of quit claim deeds and quit claim deeds. Three.
Okay, I second the motion. Any further comment or question?
No, it's just, again, as I mentioned, it's good to see that this is moving because many of these properties have been on the books for a long time, some up to 10 years even in length, and to see this taking place is encouraging. To see where the money is going is encouraging to the parks, and it's a positive, truly, and as much as I don't like the phrase, this is a win-win situation for everybody, but it's a good deal.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries.
And I will move for approval of resolution 2016-050 in the matter of making an appropriations transfer for fiscal year 2015-16.
And I second that motion. Any further discussion?
No.
Okay. I just want to thank the finance department for staying on top of this stuff. Numbers people. We need numbers people. Thank you. They do a good job. By the way, they had to rearrange the finance office over there because we have a grant. It's called a grant accountant, correct? Because the county relies so heavily on grants, all of our departments have a lot of grants that have to be managed. Every grant has very specific tracking and reporting requirements, and they're never the same. They're never the same. They're all different, and that is a very specialized, getting to be extremely specialized area of accounting. So we have a grants accountant to assist all of our departments in the county in keeping track of those and meeting all the deadlines for reporting that are necessary. Of our about $91 or $92 million budget that we just passed, about $82 million of that is all grants and pass-through funds and all of those kinds of things. There's only about $9 to $10 million that's discretionary to the county. So all that other money has to be tracked in different ways. And so I think this is going to be a really good thing for our finance department to have someone in there to focus on all of those grants that we have out there in the county. So
as well as a relief to the different departments.
Yes.
They don't have to individually be responsible to track those things and
yes,
all
not.
The multitudinous they're requirements that are there, the people necessary to fulfill all those things. We're just all on Arthur's shoulders now in his office. That's good.
Thank you, Arthur. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Consent calendar, item 4A. These are various minutes. Weekly business session of June 8th, 2016. Weekly business session of June 15th, 2016. Executive session, the open portion, June 15th, 2016. County administration workshop, June 16th, 2016. Weekly business session, June 22nd, 2016. And the open session of the executive session, June 22nd, 2016. Item 4B, economic development request. This is the RCC Small Business Development Center for $10,000, and the which is for the applicant support and loan management. And I'm going to take the item C along with that, the economic development requests from the RCC Small Business Development Center, which is the $25,000 small business development in rural Josephine County. The Rogue Community College Small Business Development Center plays a very large role of the success of our small businesses here in Josephine County. They provide free services to the businesses that need assistance in their either establishing or expanding their businesses, or if they are experiencing difficulties, they will provide them leadership and support as well as counseling at no cost to them. They do conduct classes, of which there are small fees, and they can provide some very extensive and in-depth counseling because the people that provide the counseling are other successful business people who are and specialized in various areas. So by supporting this small development center, I think that we have given a huge support to the small businesses in this community in regards to retaining jobs or expanding jobs in the community.
But I'm mentioning something too. On this, instead of the Board of Commissioners being responsible to make the decisions of where any of these monies are going to go, to this business or that business or whatever, we made the decision to turn it over to those who have the training to do these things and can properly assess those applicants. And so that's where the economic development money from the state is coming to the county, and we are in turn simply passing it over to the Rogue Community College of Small Business Development. And Ron Goss and Kenny Houck have done a wonderful job on that. And just their first report that we received in the development of this micro enterprise economic development loan program, overall in the county, they had 9 loans that they granted for a total of almost $189,000. And the jobs that were retained were 3 full-time jobs, created were 9 full-time and 10 part-time jobs in the county as a result of these monies that were invested and they are overseeing. So those are all very positive accomplishments for what they are doing for all of us in Josephine County.
And that was just 1 year.
Yep.
First year of the program, so that's excellent. Okay, item 4D, resolution number 2016-048, in the matter of the appointment of the Josephine County Fair Board, and this is Mary Groves, to a 3-year term to expire on January 1st of 2019. She's been an alternate. She was also our interim fairgrounds manager, and this community owes a huge debt of gratitude to Mary Groves. And we're so happy to see she's going to stay with us on the fair board. So I will entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar.
And I would so move for approval of the consent calendar, items 4A, B, C, and D.
And I second that motion. Any further discussion?
No.
Okay, roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Any other business of the board that we need to talk about?
Nothing.
No? Any other matters you wish to bring up?
I have done this today.
Okay. 4th of July weekend coming. Be careful.
It's amazing.
We talked about the fireworks earlier on, but the reports I'm seeing is that because of the price of gas, they anticipate many millions more people traveling on the highways, and people are in a hurry to get places. They're in the vacation mode. Just please be very careful out there if you're going to be traveling somewhere and enjoy the holiday. Just one thing I would like to say, when I served in the legislature, we had a special session that we were going over the 4th of July, and this was just prior to 9/11. And I remember the mood in the chambers at the legislature as to how everyone in that room, there were 60 of us that were representatives, and I happened to be the one that delivered the invocation that day. And to be standing in the hall of government for our state on the date of our independence was a very moving experience. And everyone in that room, regardless of your party affiliation, regardless of whether you were, you know, Republican, Democrat, it did not matter. The mood in there was, we are Americans, and we're all very proud of our country. And and thinking back on people, lots of times invoke the founding fathers, and I invoke the founding mothers as well, because as the fathers were going off and fighting and putting their lives at stake, and as they said, their fortunes. Their fortunes were being retained and maintained and preserved by the women and children who were staying home conducting the farm work. So it was a joint effort even then. And I think that when we think about the past, it's not just about the soldiers who fought. It's about the families who sacrificed. It's about the businesses that were lost to provide for us a country that we can live as we choose, choose the careers we wish, and worship as we believe or not. That's up to you. That's the freedoms that we have. And having traveled quite a bit in the world, those are very precious freedoms. A lot of countries don't have it. But some countries have it even in more so than we do. Some people don't realize that there are countries that have constitutions that are similar to ours. Those people vote in greater numbers sometimes in some of those countries. So with this being an election year and this being the 4th of July, let's reflect on the gifts that we have for being here. And I know I cherish them all. My son just returned from the Middle East, military duty there. And I talked to him at length last night about his experience over there. And, you know, he's proud of having served his country for 29 years. But he says that it's become more and more difficult in regards to the climate in the world. So let's be grateful for what we have and be safe. Thank you. Okay. It is 9:44, and we are adjourned.